Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you today?
I'm good. I have been spending a lot of time recently. Obviously, we're still under lockdown here in London, and I have spent a lot of time in the Stakhanov studio trying to get it back up and running for when we eventually are allowed back in to do podcasts together. So I've just been kind of, my whole life is just Atomos Ninja 5 video recorders, HDMI cables, and a little Dremel drill that I've been modifying the studio with. It's been charming. It's been exhausting, but we're nearly there.
Very nice. What have you got the Atmos Ninjas for? Because I've got one for filming, because you can film. You plug it into your camera and you can take off like raw video files, which are absolutely astonishing in size. I think it's like one gigabyte a second. And it's totally not worth it unless you're making an actual film. But what are you using for?
Well, we've got a camera setup at Stakhanov, which is a five camera automatic switching piece of equipment that every time someone talks, the camera switches to the thing that switches the camera to whoever's speaking, and it produces a nice ProRes photo to get a very geeky but a ProRes footage of an already kind of edited show. So it's really, really useful if you're in a bit of a hurry and you need some video from the studio, just dump it out. It's fine. It's done. It does fall over every now and again. If anybody is familiar with with the Blackmagic ATM switches and knows anyone who can design a better system, more reliable system than that, get in touch. Pete@stakhanov.com. All right. Pete@stakhanov.studio.
He doesn't know his own email address.
This is who is in charge of the bloody studio. So what I am trying to do, I'm kind of familiar with the system, but a lot of other people aren't, and I'm not always there to fix it, and it stresses me out. So what I've done is I've produced a backup system, Chris.
Right.
So every camera has now got a little Atomos Ninja 5 bit of nonsense coming out of it, so I can record each camera individually. So you did ask, Chris, and thou shall ask and thou shall receive.
Regret. Well, you've been leveling up your equipment.
That's why I've got three of them.
You've been leveling up your equipment. I've been leveling up mine. I've just put in an order for a Sony Alpha 1, which is a amazing 8K camera, 16 stops of dynamic range. Get ready for 8K. Abroad in Japan, you can see every nook and cranny in Ryotaro's face, Natsuki's smile. You can taste the cigarettes that Natsuki smokes. It's going to be incredible. I'm going to take it on Journey Across Japan 3 and try and make as much of the series as we can in 8K. I've always been like, who cares about 4K? Who cares about this? But I've kind of, I've opened my eyes to it. Now that all videos that I produce are in 4K, you can actually kind of notice the difference a lot more. And my goal has always been to kind of make people feel like they're coming on the journey. And when it's in a much more crisp detail, I feel like it kind of pulls that off. So 8K, it's going to be a game changer.
Chris, how many people have got an 8K screen? Come on now. Let's be serious.
Buy one.
Who's
buy
actually
one
watching that in 8K for crying out? What I like about this camera that you bought, they're clearly serious because it's an A1. They've reset the numbering system, so that is a real statement of intent. You can always tell when they've ripped up their plans and started again when it's A1. There we go. Have A1. A bit of that.
It is an insane camera. For those of you that know your cameras, it's a monster. It does 8K. It takes, I think, 30 frames in a second for photos. Like, it's for sports camera as well. So, yeah, it should be interesting. Right. Should be cool.
Beautiful. But,
get ready for 8K abroad in Japan. But nobody has a TV. Yeah, you're right. I don't even have a... I don't think my TV's 4K, so...
How do you know? How do you know that it's even produced in 8K? Oh, it's so depressing.
I just lie to you.
Yeah.
We've got a story from Sebastian from Canada, a place called
Sebastian
Mississauga. Is that right, Mississauga?
Ooh, I don't know. You're the one who lives. Mississauga.
Mississauga. I'm Sebastian from Canada. Probably the weirdest thing I've been faced with in my life happened just 2 summers ago. I thought it would be fun to share. There was a giant Japanese festival with many stands, many coming from Japan, and covering all aspects of Japanese cuisine that one could think of at my city of residence. Even the Imperial Princess of Japan was there. Apparently, Mississauga is the official ambassador city of Japan, and that's why the festival was held there. Wow, that's pretty impressive. There was one stall that I thought to be above all others, of a higher echelon in the taste compartment, the Hiroshima Okonomiyaki stand, the old pancake stand. It was called the glorious name Yakikuza. Yakikuza. Yaki means fries in Japanese. So good that I ate 5 on my first day. Good Lord, Sebastian, that is impressive. That's a cholesterol time bomb. I had to go again the next day. The final day of the festival, I might add. I had at least 7 the second day, as I couldn't help myself. Flipping out. I could have 7 okonomiyaki.
He sounds like Homer Simpson. Something Homer Simpson would do.
Like, one okonomiyaki pancake is extremely filling. So how you ate that many is beyond me.
Good man.
I couldn't help myself from my newfound okonomiyaki pancake addiction. So, since I ordered so much from this one stand, the owner, after my final purchase of the goods, beckoned me behind the stand, intrigued and hungry. I followed. The owner, a slim man, in his mid-30s, with quite long hair, suddenly lifted off his shirt, showing his tattoo-filled body. Incredible flower tattoos all across his front and back. I Yakuza man, he exclaimed. That's a powerful opening statement. He then handed me a solar-powered cat that waves, a Manaki Neko. As one would assume, I was utterly speechless. I could not comprehend what had just happened. Seeing the look of confusion on my face, the supposed Yakuza of Yakikuza said, "Because you are best customer, I tell you a secret." He then walked away, leaving me behind without another word. Thanks for all the great YouTube videos. I plan on going again in 2022. Keep up the good work. Sebastian from Mississauga. What do you make of that, Pete? Nice Yakikuza.
I mean, I just like the fact that he's revealed himself to just the best customer. I mean, that's probably why he's now flipping okonomiyaki and not being a member of the, white collar gang that is the Yakuza, because he's just, he just tells anyone who's interested about his wares. I am Yakuza man. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I just
and then
love the way
hands out cheap Chinese technology to him. Little cat that waves. Lovely.
Well, the old Maneki Neko is supposed to be good luck. It's kind of a little cat, good fortune. They're everywhere. And I just like the way the name Yakikuza. It's kind of like a finger up to everyone. Like, look at me, I'm the Yakuza, and I make pancakes. But the Yakuza actually run a lot of the festival stands, a lot of the festival stalls. So they're very big in that department. I'm not really sure how or why, but I did read an article.
Money laundering What's this Yakikuza? How much okonomiyaki have we sold? We've sold 20,000 tons.
To Sebastian.
And they're all
alone.
To Taiwan, the Taiwan pineapples from last time. We've sold so many. Oh, have you now? Yeah, kind of.
It's interesting. I don't really. When I used to live in Yamagata, there would be a festival every May. It was really exciting experience because the whole town's dead all year round. You don't see anyone. The town's a ghost town. But when the festival season comes around, the whole town comes out and there's dozens of stalls going along the main street leading up to the park. And it's a really incredible atmosphere. And I always loved it. But yeah, there's a lot of yakuza around. It's a really big business for them. And this year and the last year have been devastating. I read an article the other day that they've been hit pretty hard because of COVID and because all these festivals are cancelled, all these events postponed and whatnot. They've been hit pretty damn hard. So even the yakuza have had a bad year. But what are you going to say?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just laughing at the idea of the Yakuza having a bad year. We've had a terrible year. I mean, we can't even afford chisels to take off our own fingers. Awful business.
Well, speaking of criminal syndicates, the news story this week, Donald Trump fraudster is accused of scamming confused citizens in Japanese phone scam. So that's a kind of eye-raising title for an article. There's a lot of scams that revolve around the unfortunate elderly citizens in Japan because Japan has such a huge elderly population. They're very vulnerable and there's a lot of kind of crimes aimed at them, unfortunately. One of the most common scams in Japan involves a fraudster calling an elderly person and saying, "It's me, I'm in trouble. I need you to send me some money quick." It sounds ridiculous, right? It sounds very see-through, but these senior folks with diminished memories just sort of go, "Oh yeah, okay." And so they go to the convenience store and they make the transfer and they lose a lot of money for it, unfortunately. But there's a fraudster in Aichi Prefecture around the city of Nagoya. And allegedly he gave his name at the start of the phone scam and said that he was Donald Trump. It's ridiculous. And he's a nursing care worker, 44-year-old nursing care worker. He ran the scam during December of 2018 and January 2019, calling up targets and introducing himself as the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, speaking stilted and broken Japanese. He would tell them, "You're under contract for international insurance. In order to cancel it, you have to pay the cancellation fee." And then he would tell them to transfer the money to a designated bank account. And apparently this seemingly ludicrous, ridiculous scam netted him about $9,000, 900,000 yen. So he's now under arrest, but he says I borrowed the money. I didn't want to swindle anyone. The victims are delusional. So he's claiming it's all load of nonsense.
Don't call them victims. I mean, you are. Yes. If you call them victims, you're going to get in trouble, aren't you?
It's a ridiculous situation, but it's sad. It's kind of like ridiculous, but also quite sad. I remember my own nan used to get loads of stuff through the letterbox saying she'd won like $20,000 and all she needed to do is ring up a number and the money would be in her bank. It would be magic.
Oh, jeez.
As an elderly, vulnerable person,
awful.
You just sort of go, maybe something good's come my way for once. I do think it's a little bit of a stretch that Donald Trump himself is calling up to ask about insurance matters. But again,
I wouldn't put it past him. The way that he's operated his his presidency over the years, I would not put it past him. I mean, look at the exit thing. It's exactly. Well, the exit kind of statement outside the Four Seasons. The Four Seasons. What was it? Garage or it was like some kind of
Rudy Giuliani. Yes,
garden. Yeah, it was a garden.
Four Seasons garden center. Yeah. Good lord, it is very
enjoyable.
Dear, oh dear. On the upside, there is a nice story this week. Ghost of Tsushima, very successful video game, did extremely well last year. I think it sold 2.4 million copies in its first 3 days of sales, which is a new record for an original IP. And it's done very well in Japan on PS4. But it's also done extremely well for Tsushima, the old island. It's kind of nestled just off of Fukuoka, right slap bang in the middle between South Korea and Japan. And the game has done wonders for the island. No one had ever really heard of it. I didn't know Tsushima until the video game as well. But the island is so happy for the publicity that they've made the game director Nate Fox and creative director Jason Connell permanent tourism ambassadors of the city of Tsushima, which is it's really nice. That's wonderful, isn't it? kind of acknowledging that it's relationship.
In a world full of terrible stories about game developer heads of studios recently, it's really nice to have a pleasant one for once. And you know, it's I bet they can't wait to get back, to get crowned, to get their, I don't know, what do you give them, a necklace? Like an Oscar or something?
I think I read that they actually want to invite all of the Sucker Punch team to come to the island or something to that effect, to kind of invite them to come over, which I think is fantastic. And Sony Interactive Entertainment has tried to set up a new tourism campaign based on the game, designed to kind of encourage fans to come and learn about the island and discover it. But best of all, thanks to the game, there was an island with a shrine. Tsushima is kind of a bunch of islands, and there was a shrine on it that got really badly damaged in a typhoon last November, I think. And the priest put out a crowdfunding campaign, and it went on to get, I think, 5 million yen, about $50,000, contributed by 2,000 people, many of whom were kind of fans of the PlayStation game. And I think that's really cool. I think it's amazing that they've managed to rebuild the shrine, or certainly fund it, thanks to the game. So really quite a positive story there. And have you played it? I still need to play it. I've watched like videos of it. I've watched walkthroughs, but not played it myself.
Good looking, isn't it? It's a good looking game. No, I've not dirtied my boots on the aisle myself, but absolutely stunning. It's one of those you get it every kind of video game console cycle, don't you? Like the back end of the previous generation, you always get a couple of games that look just incredible. They look next gen, but they're obviously on previous gen systems. And I don't know whether they're doing a PS5 version, but that would be something else.
They've got Kurosawa mode, haven't they? Where it turns the game black and white, like the kind of aesthetic of a Akira Kurosawa samurai film. So, I'd love to play it. It's never really been my sort of game, that kind of, I don't know, that sort of genre. But the more I watch,
heard, it's very kind of overrated, but it's a very, very good looking experience. For those
I'll give it a whirl. Beautiful. I'll give it a whirl. If any of you guys have played it, let us know. Unfortunately, though, because of the whole COVID thing, nobody has gone, and I think Tsushima was expecting kind of a boom in tourism because of this game, and then that didn't happen. So hopefully people will still want to go afterwards. I did actually toy with going to Tsushima on Journey Across Japan 3, because Journey Across Japan 3 is kind of, it's around the Nagasaki area. However, to get to Tsushima, you have to get a ferry from Fukuoka, and that's kind of outside of where I'm going, and a bit of effort. It's a shame. It's a shame.
What have you got to do? Like, you're a YouTuber.
I'm a busy man. I'm a busy man, Pete. I've got chicken to eat, and that's about it. But I think actually the main reason was I couldn't really find much on Tsushima. So it would kind of be like piggybacking off the success of the game and making a video about that. And I don't know, I felt ill-equipped to do that. Maybe if you were here, I would have been more tempted, but...
Bring me sword next time.
Bring your sword over. I'd love to see you get through an airport with a katana sword. Really, I would. I don't know what happens. How would you get a sword through customs?
I don't know. You could bring a sword in, couldn't you? Just say you're a chef and you've got to cut up a big fish.
Yeah, but haven't you got like a massive... Is it a massive, like, full-on samurai sword?
Yeah, but I mean, you get away with that, I reckon. As long as it's in the hold rather than you can't. I don't think they'd let you take it on. I've taken a sword through on carry-on before.
What?
It was a plastic sword, but it looked very realistic. From Oslo, Sweden, somewhere in Sweden, maybe. It might be in Sweden, actually. I had a big plastic sword and a knight's helmet that I'd bought there. And the man at security went, "I cannot stress this enough. Keep that in the scabbard or whatever. Keep that in the holder for crying out loud. Do not get that out because you will be shot."
Can you imagine arriving and waving it around as a joke and just being shot to pieces by security? Yeah. Dear, oh dear. That's awesome. Well done. Well done, Pete. But yeah, if any of you guys have ever brought a katana sword through Tokyo Narita Airport or Heathrow, let us know how that went down. I'm going to take a quick break. Back in a moment.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we are back, and we're diving headfirst into the fax machine. What do we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from, this one knocks my socks off, tear, from Adelaide in Australia. Hi, Chris and Pete, you mentioned running into YouTubers in a recent podcast, and it reminded me of something I wanted to write in about ages ago. I visited Japan during Christmas, Christmas, New Year's, 2018-19, and while researching another trip, when I got back, as I enjoyed it so much, I found your podcast. Hey. My friend had also just gotten back from Japan recently and posted up a lot of photos on Facebook. He likes posting random things he finds on his journey, and in one, he posted a pic from Yoyogi Park with a caption, Here's two fellas sat on a bench with a camera facing them. Some content creators making a video giving you all you need to know about Tokyo from a person who's been there for several days, I'm sure. and I just listened to your Coolish episode where you were both walking around Yoyogi Park, and I realised that it was probably both like you two. And the picture is indeed a picture of me and you taken 2 years ago in the park, just filming ourselves. That's weird, isn't it? That is weird. Is that not weird?
I don't remember what we were filming, but yeah, I'm often get photos.
I don't remember we were filming in Yoyogi Park. I think, had you just settled your camera down to give it a rest or something? But
I don't
just
remember.
So weird.
We did the podcast, didn't we, through Shibuya, and we walked into Yoyogi Park, and yeah, I don't know what we were doing there, but this is kind of creepy. It's always creepy when someone sends you a photo of you doing something and you're oblivious to the cameraman, camerawoman. Happens to me, used to happen quite a lot when there were tourists here. I'd get like a message on Instagram or Twitter being like, I just saw you eating some chicken in a road and here's a photo. And there'd be like me alone in a road eating a pile of chicken. And it's always a little bit creepy and scary.
Weird, yeah. There's a picture of me, like, to be fair, probably one of the best pictures that have ever been taken of me. I do not photograph well, Chris. I am a disgusting-looking human being, the best. But the I was getting on a plane, still half-cut. I think I was in Finland or somewhere weird. Anyway, I was coming back Sunday morning, probably about, like, 7 o'clock in the morning after, like, being out all night or whatever. And I just looked like and I felt like absolute shit. Still drunk, getting on a flight, just looking to sleep for the next 2 hours on the way back. And somebody just taken a picture of me and posted it to their mate, like sent it to their mate on like Snapchat or something, going, oh, look at this, there's Pete on a plane. And I'll tell you what, one of the best pictures I've ever been taken of me. And I was so still pissed.
How did they recognise you? Was it for the Football Ramble?
Probably, yeah, it would have been Football Ramble, no doubt. No diggity.
You got to be careful though when you're like a public figure. Yeah, this does happen. Like I've spoken about things to friends, and then someone on a table nearby has gone, "Oh wait, are you Chris?" And I'm like, "Oh crap!" There I was talking about something.
Yeah, you know. But I think I'm not well known,
really,
but it does happen. It does happen. It used to happen a fair bit when people are allowed to be in places. So yeah, you got to be careful what you say, and especially when you're a bit pissing. Like people go, "What's this person really like?" And you go, "Well, actually, they're absolute bell end."
Can't stand
it. Chris is a real bell.
Can't stand it. I listen every week. We got one here from Jessica. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a fellow former 2012 Jet, now living in Sweden. I discovered the podcast a few months ago and I've really enjoyed listening to it. Recently, you've been talking about Tinder dates in Japan. So I thought that I would share my two experiences with online dating in Japan. Since this was back in the old pre-Tinder days, I was on OkCupid." God, OkCupid. That's kind of like, I remember I signed up to that when I first got here. When I thought it'd be fun to do online dating. Nothing ever came of it. Can't stand it. Anyway, the first Japanese guy I went on a date with, says Jessica, spent the whole time talking about work. It was very boring. Perhaps we would have been better if I didn't speak Japanese. The second one artificially inseminated cows for a living. Wow. That must have been a cracking opener. What do you do? I'm a jet. What do you do? I inseminate cows. On the way to our second date, he brought me along to what seemed like a business meeting with his boss, where he talked as if we had been dating for a long time and we were very serious. And his boss hoped we would soon be married. Unfortunately, I knew we were not destined to be together when he asked me if he could smoke marijuana while driving. God, this is...
Wow.
Probably rumbled this cow inseminating man. How many cow inseminating men are there in Japan? They're probably giving up. Probably going to get stuffed for this. There's also the time I had a husband for one day. One day, ooh, I was invited to join my host and father and his younger two kids at a meeting for fellow ex-military guys. My host father introduced me to everyone as his wife and said that his youngest kid was ours. Oh God! While a chorus of "eh, sugoi" rang out, I was so surprised and confused, I just awkwardly went along with it. When we returned home, my host mother asked my host father if he had pretended we were married and if he had been believed, and they had a right old laugh about it. God, I'm glad they found it funny. Bloody hell. On a recent episode, you guys also talked about the rising rates of Japanese women choosing not to get married, and I recently ran across the Japanese word one ope one au pair ikuji, one operator childcare, which means when a woman has to do all the childcare and housework by herself. The fact that there's now a word for it, and it's not just accepted, and it's not just accepted as how it is, gives me a little bit of hope that maybe life will slowly improve for mothers in Japan. Thanks again for the podcast, guys. All the best for helping me and my husband survive quarantine. Jessica, what do you make of that, Pete? The dating, some interesting dates there. Which is your favourite
one? Yeah.
Guy number one, two, or three?
I think we all know which one is my favourite one. A man who smokes weed and inseminates cows for a living. I mean, I guess it would help if you were, worked on a farm or something, just to be, blissed out all the time. It would give you a bit more of a philosophical approach to...
Especially with a job
jizzing,
like that. Yeah.
Jizzing cows right up all night.
Oh, good God. But it's interesting. It's kind of sad how Jessica was used as a pawn in these games, being like, oh, this is my future wife. It's like, I think there's quite a big business where you can hire girls to kind of come along and be your girlfriend or your wife, right, for certain events.
Yeah,
it's kind of, you need to do it, and it looks like Jessica was very much used in that way, so be careful. If you're on OkCupid, you might find yourself with some rather unusual characters and some rather unusual situations.
Take a fee. If you get in that situation, go, look, right, I'm gonna blow this wide open if you don't give me £200 right now.
Isn't that prostitution?
Extort them.
Isn't that like
No, because they've only prostituted you anyway without the money. Make some money out of it.
The prostitute is becoming the I don't know. Inception of prostitute. Bloody hell. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Wednesday. Do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week. Bye for now. And say goodbye, Pete. Go on, say goodbye.
Goodbye, people, Pete. Bye-bye. Hope you enjoy that. Bye.
Complain.
Goodbye.
Our listeners complain that you don't say goodbye enough. Say goodbye.
One operator podcast. One operator Chris.
One operator Chris.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around the duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.